This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of power here on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Hoffman Show. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham sitting in for Craig Hoffman. We'll take you up to 7 o'clock as you make your way on your afternoon drive. Home Maryland's basketball coming up tonight right here on the Team 980. They're in action at home taking on USC. Kevin Willard's squad coming in ranked 20th in the country. And I said it at the top of the show. First of all, this NCAA tournament is going to be wackier than anyone we've seen in recent memory. I look at all the freshman talent across the country that could have impact on some of the lower-seeded teams. I look at the depth that the SEC and the Big Ten have. I look at a team like George Mason out in the A-10. What if they're able to punch their ticket by winning the conference? Like, it's going to be interesting to see who ultimately wins this thing. Talking about the NCAA tournament, I was watching last night Arkansas and Auburn. It's crazy about Arkansas, a team that had hella expectations entering the season. If they don't somehow win the SEC tournament, they're not going to make the tournament, which is going to be crazy when you think about all the crap that John Calipari took for leaving Lexington at Kentucky and then going out to Arkansas. So we'll see how the NCAA tournament rolls along. We mentioned we're live out on location tomorrow out at Cap One Arena as the Wizards are back in action post-All-Star break. They'll take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Kyle Kuzma coming back to town for the first time. If you're just joining the show, I gave you all the news earlier. He got engaged over the weekend to his fiance, Winnie Harlow. And I'm interested to see the reception Kyle Kuzma gets tomorrow night when the starters are announced. I mean, we can just be honest about it, right? It was a tumultuous exit, is how I would describe it. Kuzma being pretty vocal and adamant about, hey, you know, I want to win. I want to compete. I don't want to sacrifice my shot attempts for the growth and development of the young guys. And as we've seen post Kyle Kuzma, the youngins are playing with a different level of confidence. And I'm certainly looking forward to seeing what they're able to do in the second half of the season. Speaking of the second half of the season, most teams in action tonight. We had LA and Charlotte last night. And we were just talking about this during the break. Chris Russell, I had to listen to him. Chris Russell, when it comes to the NBA, is the most ignorant dude in this building, talking about just making outlandish, disrespectful comments. Oh, Luka Doncic is the reason that the Lakers lost last night. He's supposed to be their savior. You gave some astute commentary on why you think Luka looked the way he did last night, 5 of 18, 1 of 9, from the great beyond, 11 boards, 8 helpers, and 6 turnovers. Why do you think Luka looked like that last night? Because it was sloppy.
It was sloppy. I mean, the fact that he's sort of kind of still nursing his calf injury.
Yeah.
I think, Yeah, everybody's hurt, but they got to make a push. I think they're fifth right now in the West. They got a tough slate of games next week.
Yeah.
Where they'll be at home, but they got some heavy hitters coming to town. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Lakers, you know, finish the second half of the season. I'm still not over the Anthony Davis to Luka
trade. Yeah.
I'm still trying to come to terms with it. But if the Lakers are going to win games, they're going to need Luka to, you know, definitely play.
Like, yeah, turn up, man.
The old Luka, man.
Luka got to turn up and beat Luka. 14
points ain't going to get it done
at all.
We need the points to go along with the rebounds and assists. 14 points, 1 for 9 from three. That ain't going to cut it, brother, man. And then the fact that the Pelicans were just going at this guy to end the game, that's going to be problematic just because when you get to the playoffs. And we see how, you know, Rudy Gobert gets, you know, played off the court because he can't handle the pick and roll.
Yep.
They literally were just running Luka's man to be the pick man and then ISO and Luka. And it's playing 5-on-4 at that point.
So last year this was a big talking point, right? His defense in the postseason.
It was, but you got 2 7-footers on the back end it's helping different. You out. Yeah.
It's different.
They don't the Lakers do not have the rim protection inside.
I don't think it's an effort thing from Luka. Like, I just think the foot speed is just not there. Like, he's slow, bro. Like,
I think it's a combination of both.
You think he doesn't try on that end? I don't know.
No,
man. It's hard. I guess I'm biased right now because I'm all the way Team Luka because I hated the way they talked about him on the way out. For them to kick a man while he's down, how out of shape are you if you've led your organization to the Western Conference Finals twice in 5 years, the Finals appearance last year? How out of shape are you? So for them to kick him while he was down, I didn't appreciate that. I don't know if you've heard his father is a mess. His father has been very active with the Slovenian like news over there, like basically saying that, hey, like Luka's over it. Luka doesn't care about it. We're looking to move forward. But like it's an emotional situation. Like I know
definitely.
He was dumbfounded.
Yeah, definitely. Just because you look at a guy like Dirk Nowitzki, who spent 20 years with the franchise. Yes. Luka was supposed to be that guy. Victor Wembanyama, he's supposed to be the next Tim Duncan that's supposed to stay with that franchise for his entire career. And then the franchise just blindsides you like
normally
a thief in the night.
Normally there are whispers when something like this happens.
Yeah, this was like some thief in the night type stuff. And it's very unfortunate, but...
What do you think of the other side of the trade? Because I do think – so we got an update earlier today from Tim McMenamin of ESPN that Anthony Davis is going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there's hope that maybe he's able to return at that time. I need all of them back, talking about Gaff, Lively, and him, for me to start talking about them as maybe being a legitimate threat to make the Western Conference Finals or even come out of the West. But, like, on its surface – I think Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving playing together is a good fit. The other part of this that I don't think we took into account, are we going to see more Jaden Hardy on the ball playing point? Because once you ask Kyrie to have the ball in his hand, I think, one, I don't think he wants to play that way, and it lessens his impact. I thought he did a tremendous job last postseason playing off the basketball, and then defensively, I thought his effort was out of this world. And I think now putting him back on the ball, it's a lot of responsibility on his plate, man.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We've seen Kyrie at his best. We saw when he was in Cleveland with LeBron playing off the ball. We saw him last year with Luka. And I think they're going to need another guy to be dominant on the ball anyway. AD... We've waited, you know, the last 4 years while he was in L.A. to be the guy, go, you know, lead this franchise. Because LeBron was trying to pass the reins. AD didn't want to take it, though.
He didn't want it at all. Yeah.
So if it ain't going to be AD and it has to be Kyrie, all right, now we got to find
Dinwiddie, maybe? I don't know. Exum?
I mean, they got options. It's more so just you got to coach around it. And J-Kidd, I think he doesn't get enough props for, you know, what he's done with the Mavs. But he's going to figure it out. But they do have to get healthy, man. And that's the only way you can really be successful in the playoffs. Like, you got to be healthy.
I don't even think I was taking into consideration how loaded the West was. The Timberwolves are in the play-in tournament right now.
It's a tight race.
Like, that's... That's tough. Did you see Draymond's comments over All-Star weekend?
Oh, you talking about how boring the NBA is?
About how the Warriors are going to win the finals?
I mean, he's supposed to say that, though.
He's crazy.
What do you expect him to say?
I just want him to shut up. He talks too damn much. He do. Here's the thing with and tell me if I'm wrong with this. He ruined their dynasty. First of all, he's the reason Bob Myers is here in Washington.
Okay.
Step down. Him punching Jordan Poole in the face ruined the future of that franchise. Because JP was supposed to be the next guy with Steph, with Clay. And now,
do you think Jordan Poole's immaturity had anything to do with it, though? He was immature. After they won the finals with him,
you heard the stories.
He started to make a lot of that stuff sort of kind of about him. Like he was trying to take that next step, though. I'm not gonna lie.
But they don't win the title without him.
You're right.
They don't win it without. So that's why
they don't win it without Draymond either. They don't win those other three without Draymond.
I hear that, but like to maximize the back end of one of the top 10 players of all time's career, talking about Steph Curry.
You want to leave it better than
you want to leave it better than what it is. And, mm-hmm. like, Jimmy Butler's a fine addition. Great. But, like, I look at the young guys that they've drafted, and they've stunk in the draft. That's the big problem with Golden State. They haven't hit on the draft picks.
James Wiseman having the number one overall pick. Yeah.
They should have had – that was the LaMelo Ball draft, right? They should have had Melo. It was the LaMelo Ball draft, bro. Imagine if Melo was in Golden State, young. Like, that would be crazy. It was Melo, Wiseman, and somebody else was at the top two of that draft.
I'm not going to lie.
They missed on a couple dudes.
Tyrese Haliburton. Oh, Anthony. No, Anthony wasn't in that one.
No, I don't think Ant was. Ant was number one overall pick.
Oh, so they had James Wiseman.
No, it was Anthony Edwards.
Oh, yeah, Anthony
Edwards. They missed on Anthony Edwards and Melo, bro.
No, I think Anthony might have gone one. Yeah, that's what it was. James Wiseman was two.
So they couldn't have gotten that.
LaMelo was three. Patrick Williams was four. Isaac Okoro was
five. That draft was buns, bro.
The top five is, yeah, and
remember,
nasty.
This is what's so funny about the NBA draft and all drafts. Man, I was gassing Isaac Okoro in the draft process. I'm like, oh, yeah, Slim going to be. Now, he's carved out like a niche role in Cleveland. Was he a part of the DeAndre Hunter trade? Do they still have Isaac Okoro? I'm pretty sure they do. But, yeah, like, he was a piece that I was like, okay, like, he comes in and maybe is the face of your franchise. Now, in reality, he's on a good team, a key role player. But, like, it shows you what's so interesting about the draft. There's actually some pretty big news relative to the draft, rumor relative to the draft that we'll touch on a lot tomorrow as we're live out at Cap One Arena for the Wizards' first game out of the All-Star break. But, like, this conversation is interesting because I think the second half of the NBA season is flush with storylines in both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. We talked a lot about what's going on in the West. Do you think Houston is a legitimate threat? Because they stayed pat at the deadline, do you expect them just to continue to hover around that 3-4-5 seed in the West? Or do you think second half gets some maturity to them and they take a step?
I will be very surprised if Houston gets out of the first round. Yeah. I think incredible job what Ime Udoka was able to do this year. I still think they're rebuilding. But, you know, they sort of kind of give me the Orlando Magic of last year vibes kind of thing.
Yeah,
young
totally
team
agree.
On
totally
the rise. Agree. You know, they've won some big games, but they don't really have that playoff experience. And they're going to figure it out, you know, when they get to the playoffs. But you got Fred VanVleet. I think he's the only guy on that team with some real playoff experience. Jeff Green, of course, too. But they're young, man.
They are. But M.A., I like M.A. I like M.A. relative to, like, I like everything about M.A., but his choice of women. He's a damn fool.
Hey, yo.
Slim's a damn fool. And you know it. There's nothing you can argue about
with
that.
You're right. But if they had to play, like, the Warriors in a 7-game series,
it's going to be tough for him.
It's going to be tough.
Baby Joker give him a matchup advantage against anybody in this playoffs? Because that's what I think is their saving grace, is the ability to play inside out. And they defend. They're going to defend.
They are going to defend. Is he hurt right now? Sengun?
I think Tari and Fred are out, I think. I'm not sure, though. You'd have to double-check me on that, super producer. But yeah, the Western Conference is going to be interesting. I'm curious to see how Ben Simmons continues to fit in with the Clippers. I love them. I love him in their second unit. James Harden's cooking. Mm-hmm. I expected this, by the way, because Ty Lue going to coach. They get Kawhi Leonard back tonight, or do they play? Do they play tonight or tomorrow? But he's supposed to be back in the lineup, and I think like they're going to be an interesting team. Ooh, they play. Ooh, it's a goodie.
Yeah, he's going to be active.
They play Milwaukee tonight.
Yep, he's going to be active. Yeah. He's back.
Definitely can't wait to tune into that.
They always have just so many wings.
I know.
Every year, like but six, that's what the eight, league six. Is. Yeah, it is. And then you got the big man.
Yeah,
Zubac. Nah, I'm excited for the second half of the season. This is when the NBA, you know, gets exciting.
Yeah, I'd actually start trying.
Yeah, because Draymond was going on like the first half of the season. I don't even pay attention to. Like, yeah. All right, there might be some matchups. Maybe Christmas Day, I might tune into.
Yeah.
But March, well, I don't know college basketball in March. April, I'm locked in.
For sure.
Because all the games matter. Everybody's playing hard. People are getting healthy. Yeah. It's exciting.
Good hoops on tonight, man. A couple of really good matchups. We'll talk a lot more NBA tomorrow as we're out at Cap One Arena. Right now, I know we're a little late. Last weekend was Valentine's Day weekend. But I'm in the loving spirit. We'll take a spin around the National Football League, look at some of the top storylines as we get geared up for the Combine next week. And then we'll play a little QB matchmaker with some of the veteran signal callers around the NFL. More of that next on the not the fan, Team 980. Sheesh. Coming up in about 8 minutes, our pal Mike Sando, senior reporter for The Athletic, going to join us as we take a spin around the National Football League. It is going to get super spicy in the rumor mill next week in Indianapolis out of the scouting combine. That's when all the GMs and the agents and folks of that matter begin to start discussing deals. I want to know, and I heard from a birdie, Diana Russini on the Rich Eisen show, said yesterday that if there is going to be movement on the Myles Garrett front, it will be next week in Indianapolis at the Combine. So we will find out sooner rather than later whether or not Myles Garrett is actually going to be available. We'll get into that a lot tomorrow as we're broadcasting live out of Capital One Arena out on the concourse ahead of Wizards and Bucks. Their first game out of the All-Star break. But, yeah, it's going to get interesting next week in Indy. We're going to find out answers on Myles Garrett. I think Les Snead and the Rams are eventually going to begin taking calls on Matthew Stafford. It was reported yesterday by Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports that the asking price from L.A. is a first-round pick. And we were discussing Pittsburgh giving up pick number 21 earlier before the show. It doesn't seem like a Steeler move. If I'm being real, to go out and trade for a guy, their owner, Art Rooney, said it at the end of the season that they are going to bring back one of Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. I'd have to think it's Fields. Matt Stafford in Pittsburgh?
I mean, to be honest,
they got to get their line together.
I think it makes sense to me, especially like for this year's draft class. Not a lot of quarterbacks. If you get this guy on a one-year deal, if you feel as though you're only a quarterback away, you go get a wide receiver, you know, to pair with George Pickens. I think they could really
maybe they get make, Cup. Do they get Cup and Stafford? I mean,
possibly. Yeah. I think it will work.
The other thing at receiver for Pittsburgh, Roman Wilson, their rookie from last year from Michigan, didn't play a lot because of an ankle injury. He's somebody I know they're gonna be counting on as well. But we know what the Steelers are, man. Daniel Jeremiah actually mocked them with Ashton Jeanty. In his last mock draft.
Oh, because Najee's about to be a free agent?
And you think about Jeanty is like a hybrid between Najee and Jaylen Warren in terms of like three down back, can catch it, can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers going to be interesting. Their defense, to me, took a little bit of a step back and wasn't as good down the stretch. I know they blanketed our ass, but it wasn't Steeler football on defense the entirety of the season. So that's another interesting spot. The one area, the one team that keeps getting brought up that like I'm curious about in terms of like what they end up doing at quarterback, I don't know how much flexibility they got, but New Orleans. I think the Saints quarterback situation is interesting. They just hired, Garrett Neusmeyer, the LSU quarterback. They hired his father as their offensive coordinator today. So I don't know whether they're playing a long game with Garrett or what happens. But I keep saying that's the worst job in the NFL in this hiring cycle was that New Orleans gig. But, you know, we'll see. They're another one of those quarterback needy teams. The other team is the Giants. Like, what do the Giants do at number 3? because they're another team that's reportedly in on Matthew Stafford. His brother-in-law just got hired as the assistant quarterbacks coach in New York, so that's why folks keep drawing that comparison.
They need to get Cam Ward.
Stop putting a Band-Aid on the quarterback position is what you're saying. Yes.
Cam Ward.
If you're the Giants, though, this is why the NFL offseason calendar is crazy, bro. And we'll get to Mike Sando coming up here quickly. Imagine, right, you got free agency before the draft. You got to get a guy that you're comfortable starting at quarterback in free agency. Because if you go into the draft and Cam and Shador go 1-2, what the hell do you do?
I mean, that is tough.
Like, that's a terrible spot to be in, though.
Yeah, it is, but you got to go get your guy. You're at 3. It's not like you're at 9.
So you're saying,
what,
trade up?
I'm saying if you
I don't look at Cleveland as a rookie quarterback team. I think they've got to win.
If you start to hear rumors that the Jets are all in on trying to trade up for a quarterback at 1,
so yeah, capital.
Now I'm running interference. I'm doing whatever I can because sure. Again, you're only trading back 2 spots. You're going from 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Granted, you move up from 9 and 1, you're giving up a lot more capital. You're giving up a first, a second, maybe even a third. Like you give it up a lot to move up 8 spots to that number 1 overall pick. So if you're at 3, I think you're sitting in a better position. And again, you got to go get your guy. Don't worry about everybody else. Your guy.
If you feel as though
he's worth it, go get him.
I think so. Shador is the guy they keep getting linked to. I think Cam. First of all, like, I don't know. I don't buy the hype of, like, I hate when we do this. And I don't even want to make this controversial at all. But, like, why are we acting like Cam Ward and Shador Sanders aren't going to be franchise quarterbacks? Like, there's a question. There's a question about every rookie quarterback.
I think some are more pro ready though.
I think Shador from the neck up is more equipped to walk into an organization than anybody in the last 2 years.
Hey, look, he might be able to. I truly believe this guy holds into the ball entirely too long.
I know.
Entirely too
long. Same thing with Caleb last year. Yeah.
That ain't something that you just change overnight. And we saw it with Caleb.
Yeah, for sure.
So, again, I think some guys are a little bit more pro-ready. The guy Cam Ward, they said, like, he performs like Jaden. Like, he's up first person in the building, 5 a.m. He's getting the reps. This guy has a huge chip on his shoulder. It's not even a chip. It is a boulder. It is a canyon on his shoulder just because this guy, zero-star recruit, went somewhere.
This story is crazy.
Crazy story. Like, he got so much to, like, prove, yeah, man. He's going out there and putting in the work. So if I'm the Giants, get Cam.
So here's the other thing, too, right, for the Giants before we break for Mike Sando.
I hope they mess it up, though.
Me too. Like, I swear for.
Yeah, go ahead. Like, go ahead, New York. Mess it up.
Please screw it up. But, like, if you're the Giants, right, do you feel like a veteran is the way to go? Because if you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, like, how much do you have the time and the job security to see through the development of a young quarterback?
I mean, the thing is,
that would be my question.
If Brian Daboll is the guy that everybody's, you know,
quarterback whisperer,
yeah, said him to be, he can make it work. Yeah. And I'm not mortgaging that. You said for Matthew Stafford, you got to give up first round.
I'm not giving up 3.
I'm not giving up 3. So
there's
so
no
what
chance
are you giving
of giving up 3.
Do they have multiple picks?
Maybe it'd be a conditional first, like a
2026.
Yeah, 2026, depending on if he plays a certain amount of snaps. Or if he retires at the end of the year, maybe it gets pushed back. Like, there's ways you can finagle it because ain't no damn way you're giving up 3 for Matthew.
Yeah, I'm not giving up. So are you saying you bring in a quarterback and then you take somebody at 3, another quarterback?
I think you got to in free agency, they got to leave with a veteran they're comfortable starting the season with because there's no guarantee based off where you're slotted. So it's going to be a fascinating offseason for the New York Giants. We'll keep you up to speed on that and the rest of the NFC East. NFL Scouting Combine coming up next week. Plenty of rumors expected to swirl out in Indianapolis. Mike Sando of The Athletic joins us next to sort through some of those rumors right here on the Team 980. Welcome back. It's the Hoffman Show right here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 7 o'clock with the NFL Scouting Combine coming up next week. Wanted to talk to one of the experts who'll be out there in Indy sorting through all the rumors, our pal Mike Sando of The Athletic. Give him a follow on the old X app at Sando_NFL. Mike, I appreciate you making some time for us, my friend.
Good to be here. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Feeling a lot better about the local 53, the Washington Commanders, after the salary cap increase was announced today. Mike, your tweet on this actually got audible chuckle out of me. What did you make of the cap rising, and how do you think it helps teams, if it does?
Well, it definitely helps to have it go up. You know, I think it probably went up a little bit more than they expected, so that's welcome news. I think if you're a team that's right around the limit, and you're going to have maybe a little bit less maneuvering to do, right? There could be a handful of teams like that. But what I tweeted about it, though, was, hey, do you remember the last time, you know, that it made a record jump? Where were you? And you don't really remember, because as exciting as it seems to be when it happens, maneuvering the cap is not the hard thing to do. It's finding the right players to pay. Yeah. So even as we go into free agency now, the cap issues really aren't the big concern. It's that there's not enough good players available to feel great about what you're going to pay them, even if you have more cap room. So as long as you have good players, the cap never is a problem. Look, the Eagles have they're pretty highly leveraged. They have good players. The Saints are pretty highly leveraged. They don't have good players. That's why the Saints have a problem.
Right.
They have a cap problem, yes, but it's a player problem. If their bad contracts were in good players, they wouldn't be bad contracts.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's just a thing to keep in mind is, you know, the cap gets used as a reason, as an excuse by owners or what they're doing or not. But it's, if you know how to get good players, you can pay them.
So Mike, let me ask you this, because I see the common thing that people assume, and I'm sure they're right in this assumption, is that it's going to drive some of the costs of these players up. Which position group do you think gets most impacted by the increase in the salary cap?
That's really just, you mean of players that are already signed?
No, I mean of in free agency. It's going to drive some of these numbers up.
Yeah,
which position group do you think gets influenced the most?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I don't think there's good players out there. I mean, look, we all think T. Higgins is on the list. Is he going to make it?
Yeah, right.
They may just tag him, right? So right. I think that the running back position in general has been depressed their numbers actually went down for a while. The franchise tag numbers actually got lower at one point. So I think that's one that we'll see grow off of some of the success some of those backs have had. But it depends who's available as well. So I think it's very case-by-case basis on the player. I don't know that a position's going to, you know, necessarily have a big run on it. We saw last year, like interior offensive linemen, some of those guys hit and got big money. So we could potentially see that again. There were guys making $20 million a year who played guard. So we'll see what happens. Kansas City has a guard and Trey Smith who may hit the market. So we could see a few like that. But, you know, I don't think that this is a big enough change to just, you know, reset everything.
Mike, one thing I've been asking our local audience here in D.C. is just how we view this Commanders offseason coming up. Third most cap space in the NFL, Mike, but you've got 29 unrestricted free agents. And if I'm being real, for them to overhaul the roster and retool it on the fly the way that they did last year, a lot of those contributors that you saw in the NFC title game were on one-year deals. You couple that with getting an elite guy at the quarterback position. I guess I'm asking, Mike, is last year's offseason success replicable for Washington when you think about how many one-year guys that they ultimately brought in?
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to try to do the exact same thing. I think what was interesting about Washington was, you know, they came in to a situation where you could have decided, hey, we've got a long runway here. We can build this thing through the draft. And, of course, they're going to try to do that, and they've had some good draft picks. But they also signed a lot of veterans to sort of raise their floor, if that makes sense. Not everybody does that. Right. So I think that showed that, hey, they wanted to be good right away, and they were. So, now some of those guys are obviously going to be one-year rentals, or some of them won't be there. But I think you can still try to fill with some more of those types of guys. Probably fewer of them because they'll keep some of those guys that run one-year deals.
Right.
But I could see them, you know, continuing to try to, maximize their ability to win now, especially now that they know Jaden Daniels is a good quarterback. I mean, they hoped they were going to get a good quarterback in the draft, but they didn't probably know how good it would go.
Right. So do you anticipate them being aggressive in terms of spending when you consider the needs and then the free agent market when the league year opens up here in a couple of weeks?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think they were aggressive last year, but not in pushing the market with huge deals. They signed a lot of guys for more moderate deals. And I think we saw them show some restraint in other positions, you know, where people thought they might trade for this or that. They didn't always do that. I would not think that they're going to go wild in free agency. You know, is there someone you see out there that you think could be a huge high dollar addition for them?
You know, it's interesting. I know wide receiver 2 is a spot that a lot of the fans here, Mike, want them to spend at. But I look at the Final Four and why those teams were there. It's because of the dominance on the interior on both sides of the football, improving in the trenches. I look at this offensive line class in free agency. Mike, is an interesting group. You mentioned Trey Smith being at the top of the class. I don't think Baltimore's got the resources to keep Ronnie Stanley around. I look at Alaric Jackson out of L.A. with the Rams, Will Fries with Indianapolis. There seems like there are a lot of – and those guys that I listed too, Mike, are like 26, 27 years of age. I always have the old adage of like, well, they're free agents for a reason. So there's obviously some question marks and injuries with some of those guys. But I do expect them to be aggressive in trying to upgrade the trenches on both sides of the football. And I would say this free agent class, you know, lends itself to that.
That would make sense for them. I think a lot of people, you're right, last year thought, would they trade for a receiver, this sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that. I think you start in the trenches. That being said, I thought their offensive line was one of the real pleasant surprises.
Yes.
So this past season, and that could just be how they decided to play as well. You know, the scheme, they were so pass happy the year before, right, just almost historically so, that, you know, probably put their line in a bad light. I think the line, we weren't talking about the line really being a big problem this last year. So obviously the injury in the playoffs, you know, to Cosme hurts. So they need to, you know, do something. But that's where I think you're right. They would probably funnel more of the resources there. Usually when you're building a team, mm-hmm, that's what you try to get squared away first. And then you think about adding the wide receiver as sort of the cherry on top of the sundae. And if you look at like Philadelphia, you know, they've kind of done that. They've had the lines and then they went and got an A.J. Brown, or even 20 years ago, they went and got a Terrell Owens, or even 2 or 3 years ago, they, 5 or 6, 7 years ago, they got the receiver from Chicago. What was his name?
Alshon Jeffrey. Yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey, right? Mm-hmm. You add those pieces to a team that's already pretty good,
yeah,
right? As opposed to add those pieces and then go about building your team.
Right. I like the way you describe it. Sort of like a cherry on the top. It would be Washington's cherry this year, and also a foundational piece is if they could somehow, Mike, pry Myles Garrett away from Cleveland. Based on folks you talk to around the league, is Andrew Berry in that front office going to play hardball with Myles Garrett? Do you see this being something that drags into the new league year, maybe even almost the camp, or do we get a resolution here sooner rather than later?
I can see it dragging that long. Yeah, I can see it dragging that long. I mean, if you're an acquiring team, how much are you willing to give up? And then remember, you're going to pay him on a long-term deal for years 9, 10, 11, and 12, right?
Yeah.
So that's a consideration. Like, what would the price be? I'm also very interested in what Cleveland themselves do just to help the quarterback situation. I think that's part of the reason why people are a little antsy and restless in Cleveland, is that, man, they've been going nowhere at quarterback for so long that these guys see their careers sort of draining away. If they can resolve that, you know, get themselves a quarterback that makes it feel more viable, I mean, maybe they're in a better position to, you know, extend Myles Garrett. I guess we don't really know yet because the push has not come to shove to see how serious about what, right? Including what other teams might do, what another team might offer them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating. You continue to hear, you know, two in a young player in terms of what the cost of getting Garrett is going to be. I think he's worth it, Mike. I know the age is kind of a factor to how much longer do you have with him, but when you think about the great athletes, no matter what sport that it is, that have went on and beat father time, so to speak, when I look at the build and work ethic and injury history of Myles Garrett, I think he's a safe bet to say, yeah, if he's maybe one of those guys.
Yeah, so I actually studied that recently and looked at There's a short list of guys, maybe about a dozen guys who, like him, have been an All-Pro at least four times in their fourth through eighth seasons of their careers, and we're not falling off. So it's all Hall of Famers, a bunch of guys. And really, Randy White, who was on the Cowboys, Reggie White, Eagles and Packers, those guys did a really great job of sustaining it. They kept remaining that, you know, that dominant force. Most of the others fell off quite a bit in years 9, 10, 11. They were still good in some cases, but not as truly dominant. So I think, you know, the Browns are, and you mentioned Andrew Berry, they're an analytical organization. Yeah. So they're going to be studying all of that, projecting all of that. They're going to have additional information that I don't have because they know all of his medicals and they know what his work ethic's like and all of that. So they can make a more fully informed decision. But, you know, don't forget, he's got 2 years left on his contract with no guaranteed money. So I think the contract motive here has to be part of this as well for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I figured that to be the case, but he was pretty adamant about it, you know, out at Radio Row, that, like, I want to win and I want to go to a chance to go to a team, rather, where I can compete for a title. But money always.
I believe that. You know, I believe that, but, you know, it's always about the money, too. He's not going to come out and say, hey, look, I only got 2 years left here. I need to make a big swing while I'm still perceived to be in my prime. He could never say that. Right. So, you know, but I would think that's part of it.
Joined right now on the Rude Guest Hotline by Mike Sando, who covers the Athletic. Excuse me, who covers the NFL for the Athletic. Give him a follow on the X app at Sando NFL. Two more for you here, rapid fire, Mike, before we let you go. I appreciate you giving us some time. How do you see the Cooper Kupp situation playing out in L.A. with the Rams?
I have thought that this was just a prelude to him being released. I wouldn't think another team would want to acquire his contract. You know, I think these are difficult situations when you have kind of a franchise icon, a guy you've won a Super Bowl with. It's hard to have the really honest conversations about, you know, what the truth is here. The Rams aren't real excited about having him back at that number, right?
Yeah,
it was a little awkward when he put out on X, you know, his statement. It was a weirdly worded thing about how we've agreed to that they're going to look to trade me. I don't know. If the Rams aren't willing to take that contract right now, you know.
Who else is?
That's kind of how I see it ending.
Especially when you consider the Rams are right on the doorstep of being a Super Bowl team. Speaking of that, the Matt Stafford rumors, Mike, don't make a whole lot of sense because of that. I know it was reported earlier today by Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports that L.A. would be interested in listening to offers, but it starts with a first-round pick, obviously. And who is giving up that type of significant capital, Mike, for a quarterback that only maybe has two seasons left at most?
Well, somebody who's got to win in the next two seasons. And I think that's the difference between with the Rams and those other teams is the Rams are kind of made men. You know, like Sean McVay, Les Snead, these guys – aren't like worrying about their jobs. They've won the Super Bowl. They've shown they can win, and they've shown they can take big swings and they can hit home runs or they can strike out, and they're not going anywhere. So I think they are the type of organization that can have these types of thoughts. Like, you know, we could run it back with Stafford, but we're kind of at this point where we do have a young defense and we kind of want to turn it and go a little bit younger. And we've shown an ability, you know, to win. They probably like Jimmy Garoppolo more than people would realize, right?
That's interesting.
Their affinity for him may be greater than, especially, the only thing that matters is what Sean McVay thinks on a team like that, right? For about the quarterback. So if McVay feels like, hey, you know what? I think we win this with this guy. If we can get a, love our draft process, if we can get a, you know, we just drafted Jared Verse and some other guys who've hit, I'd run it back with Jimmy if we got a one. And we could get another player like that, I think we can win. That's the type of thing they can afford to think because their jobs aren't on the line every year. They can take a long-term look if they want to. And so they'd be wise to listen to a team that might make a short-term decision, right? And say, you know what?
For sure.
Like the Giants, I don't know if they're actually thinking this.
You segued us perfectly. I'll let that be the last thing, Mike, because I know you got to run. Like, the Giants situation is fascinating. No way in hell, Mike, they gave up number three overall for Stafford.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think that.
I wouldn't think that either. So maybe we're talking a future first in their second rounder from this year. But how do you view that situation? John Mara was pretty, you know, gave them a vote of confidence. They didn't finish strong. Obviously, they've got, what is it, the number three overall pick. Doesn't seem like a situation where they have the time to develop their own franchise quarterback. How do you see that situation playing out?
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing, because let's just say, what if Joe Shane could offer like a conditional one, but it's a one in the future, so if he loses his job,
right,
like the next GM has to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you give up a future one, that's an interesting then component. The Rams know they're getting it, and Joe Shane's like, hey, I'm all in for this year anyway. If I lose next year's one, you know,
who cares, right?
I don't care if I'm not here, you know. Now, I don't know if ownership would let him do that, but I think the Giants are a weird situation where the owner clearly was conflicted. It's almost like he plugged his nose and stayed the course. You know, he's like, yeah, I realize it hasn't worked out. I don't like where we're at, but I'm not going to blow it up right now. It really wasn't a ringing endorsement, so... You know, that does raise the possibility that you're going to be making some short-term decisions this offseason. We'll see if the owner allows that.
Yeah, that's going to be the fascinating thing up there in the Big Apple. Mike, I appreciate you as always. Wait, real quick. Who did you vote for MVP?
You know, I voted for Lamar Jackson. You know, I was real strong on Lamar for about the first two-thirds of the season. I thought it was like a no-brainer.
Right.
And then I thought Josh Allen did sort of close the gap. I felt like, Lamar started getting a little more help from his defense and that type of stuff. He didn't have that early. And I thought Josh Allen came on strong. But I just felt like, you know, Lamar, the whole body of work, just all the production. And then I thought for so much of the year, he was overcoming really bad defense. Even their kicker, who used to be money, was bad. Like, he was really carrying it, I thought. So who did you have? Did you have a preference?
Yeah, I thought Lamar, just because the numbers were kind of like historic in terms of rushing and passing. And, you know, the argument that people kept using is, oh, he's got Derrick Henry. And, I mean, I don't think the cast of weapons for Josh Allen and Buffalo is bad at all.
Also, you know, he's helping Derrick Henry as much as the other way around.
Right,
the backs
exactly.
who play with Lamar really, really benefit. I mean, we saw this a little bit with Saquon Barkley, too, to a lesser degree. But when the defense has to worry about the quarterback as a runner, even though Lamar didn't really run that much this year, he scrambled. But people have it so ingrained, like, that you've got to defend him as a runner. I think it totally helps Derrick Henry, probably more than Henry is helped by Lamar.
Look, that's why we're frustrated here in D.C.
Or the other way around.
Yeah, look, that's why we're frustrated here in D.C. We got a runner, and our running backs did not exceed those expectations, Mike. I appreciate you giving us some time, man. We'll catch up soon. Enjoy the offseason.
Hey, thank you. You too.
Always love catching up with my guy, Mike Sando, one of the absolute best in the National Football League. Getting us geared up for the Combine next week in Indy. There are going to be plenty of rumors flying around. And we just got to pay attention and listen, man. Big thank you to Mike Sando. Big thank you to Joe DeLeon. Big thank you to Ant and your calls sitting in here for Craig Hoffman. Back with you tomorrow live out of Cap One Arena for Wizards and Bucks, their first game out of the All-Star break. We'll talk a lot about the Washington Wizards, including what Brian Keefe should do with the rotation now that Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton are going to be a part of the party. Appreciate you all.